So I can keep wearing Calvin Klein, what you're saying?
Yeah. What do you mean you want
that? Is it Gabriel Brothers or Calvin and Klein? You all have Gabriel Brothers?
No.
You don't know who they are. Karen does. Anyway.
So let's look at verse 7.
Yeah. They're a cut right place.
Let me say something quickly,
sure,
if you don't mind. I know there are difficult situations, but sometimes we have to understand, and I say this to every man and when you get married, that if the Lord allows us to be able to afford to the household, it's best for the woman, once there's children, to be with the children. That's what the scripture teaches. So I have to say that. And if the Lord didn't allow it, he has a purpose. He wants my wife to work because somebody needs to be saved or somebody needs to be touched. But the scripture teaches us. So Kevin, it's very difficult right now because I know where he lives and it's tough over there. But in the future, God prospered Kevin, and there's children, and Jillian could stay home. I think this is the preference that the Scripture gives us from the Word of God. So the Lord understands circumstances, but we have to be content and satisfied that if we reach these circumstances that the Scripture teaches us to function as, then I should be content to say, you know what, it's time for my wife to stay home, to take care of the kids. Because I could live in a house with 3 bedrooms. I don't need a house with 10 bedrooms. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I just want to set this as we go to verse 7.
I too want to add something that, Emil, you said a little earlier. When is a young man and a young woman ready to be married?
And I believe that you said something that is crucial earlier. That is when the young man financially can support a household. And I'm not speaking in any way of your situation, but I think that causes so much grief today that we're going to somehow live on love. I'm going to guarantee you, you're going to starve to death. it causes so much stress. Let's be honest with you that the first couple of years when you're adjusting, you're adjusting to her. I'll tell you this. Some of you have heard this, but my wife came back with a good one on me one day. I was teasing her to some other folks, and I said to her, or said in their presence, I didn't know when I found Miss Wright that her first name was Always. And she came back, and she really came back well, and she says, and likewise, I didn't know when I found Mr. Wright that his first name was Never. Well, in the first years of marriage, there's lots of adjusting. You're adjusting to her, she's adjusting to you. Believe me, your wife did not know you when she married
you. Oh, your second wife is still adjusting.
Well, that's true. Diane did not know Emil when she first married him.
That was tough, because if she did,
she wouldn't have married him. But, you know, the one thing that you don't want these first formative years to be are years that are characterized by bickering and the problems that come when there is not enough money and when I wasn't, as the husband, prepared to support a wife. So I think that's just something, keep it in the back of your mind. Look long and hard at that. Emil, take us on into 7.
It just, again, we bring back again those moral characteristics, those features of godliness in the young man. And he is telling Titus that, look, don't just go and talk to them and tell them what they ought to do. You yourself be an example. I think we have heard. This is what people read, what people see, if how the believer is conducting himself. And as a young man, it struck me once when I read about David. I mean, you read the scripture and you read it thousands of times, and sometimes just a verse comes to you. That David behaved himself wisely in the eyes of Saul's servant. And do I desire for myself Do you desire for yourself to behave yourself wisely? And say, you know, this is a young man that is really wise. He's young, but look how he conducts himself, how he carries himself, how she carries herself, how she acts. And that's a challenge to every one of us, to behave ourselves in this way. You be an example. And he start not to stalk in good works first, right? In good works. The way you conduct yourself, the way you work, the way you behave, it's going to speak louder than anything else.
You know, the word pattern is a lovely word to get hold of. You see, I watch Karen sew, and she lays a pattern out, and she puts all the pins in it, and she goes around, and if she uses the pattern again, do you know what's true of it? It's always right, because it's always according to the same pattern. And this is the word for you and I. It's not just a good work here and there. It's not just that every once in a while there would be something right, but that we, as young men, are to be a pattern of good works. Then we ask the question, well, where does this come out at? How is this seen? You notice it's got a semicolon there. And the Lord says, I'm glad you asked that, because I want to tell you where it should be seen. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech. You know, Scripture says we have a sound mind. And what should come from a sound mind? Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. This is a high standard, young brothers. This is not our standard. This is not the standard of the brethren. This is the standard of the Lord. This is Christ exhibited in you and I, isn't it? I'll read these other couple of verses, and it may be we have at least 15 or 20 more minutes to go, and we would want to move over to the Corinthians. It says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. I read this verse. I can't imagine, and I don't think any of us here can imagine what it would be to be a servant in the way in which these people were servants. They were owned by someone else, weren't they? What a wonderful thing Christianity is. That the Spirit of God goes into those who are servants, and he says, I want you to be obedient. I want you to be obedient unto your own masters. And not just to do the kind of good. Please them well. Please them well. You say, well, why in the world is that? Why does he put such an emphasis? Please them well in all things. And what is the easiest thing to do? To talk back. To answer back in a way that we shouldn't. He says, not answering again. Not purloining. But showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. Where are they going to see that? In you and I. In our lives lived here, they see Christ. You mentioned it earlier, John. There's the Christianity that I see. It's Richard and in his walk, or it's Andrew, or it's David, or it's Jason. It's them walking and exhibiting Christ in their life here, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things.